This hour of the Chris and Amy Show is brought to you by Fruitcake Fitness, because those holiday calories won't burn themselves.
It's the Chris and Amy Show. Check it out.
St. Louis, Mound City, we are going to have a great day today.
Now, Amy Marks Corps, Chris Ronji on KMOX.
Let's take it from the top.
Happy Festivus. It is the Chris and Amy Show. Amy Marks Corps, Chris Ronji. Good morning to you. We begin our Christmas week. Hope you're doing well today. 314-436-7900. That's a phone number. You know what to do with that. You can call it and text it. But we really, really like your voice messages if you want to send one to us. Straight from the Odyssey app. Download the app and listen to the show, A-U-D-A-C-Y. The podcasts of the show are there. Cardinals baseball is on it as well during the season. It is such a great app. And right there, you can leave us a voice message.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everybody will be talking about.
Six people injured in the Ted Drews parking lot in an accident that took place yesterday. We are expecting an update from the police department later this afternoon.
And Luigi Mangione, the suspect in the United Healthcare CEO's killing, is scheduled to be arraigned in Manhattan at a Manhattan court today. We will be talking with CBS legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum about that arraignment and the issues surrounding it.
And we knew it was going to happen. Paul Goldschmidt, no longer a member of the Cardinals, he has signed with the New York Yankees, gets a one-year contract. Also, the Illini beat Mizzou 80-77 in the Bragging Rights game yesterday. So
I had a friend go to that Bragging Rights game, by the way.
Yeah, a lot of people.
Her first one. She's like, I'm putting a tiger tail on my car. Like, she said the excitement and the energy. She didn't go to Mizzou. She didn't go to Illinois. But she said it was so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
That she just wanted to be part of it.
I as I mentioned, I have gone to that game, probably like half a dozen times, which isn't a ton, I guess. But I had friends who were
good.
Yeah, I guess it is. Yeah. That is a lot, right? But when I was in college and I would be home from school and my friends from college would come down because they were Illinois fans and I would go, I always had a really good time. And I had no rooting interest in either one of the teams, but the atmosphere mm-hmm. there is always great. I love rivalry games, especially when the two teams are not necessarily evenly matched. And these two probably are because they were ranked very close to one another mm-hmm. before the game started. But I love it because there are times where one of them is just so far and away better than the other, or a lot better, and the game's close anyway.
Yeah.
You play on a neutral site, and it really is one of those anything can happen kind of situations. I love those.
This wasn't a rivalry, but I went to a game, gosh, it must have been almost 20 years ago, the SLU Billikens versus UNC basketball.
Oh, well, so was it here?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it was here. And UNC won, and I had to pull up the score. It was 75-63. But I remember it being a fun game, but it also in my head, and maybe UNC wasn't great at that time, but I feel like they were. In my head, I thought this is a lopsided game going into it.
Well, the fact that North Carolina came to town is probably it.
Yeah.
Very rarely do you get to see a team like
right.
Duke or UNC usually isn't going on the road to play a mid-major.
Right. That's what I mean. It was just a unique experience, but it was a ton of fun because the Billikens aren't playing UNC every week.
Yeah. Yeah. And for people who don't really follow college basketball, what normally happens is if you're Duke or if you are North Carolina or you're Kansas and you do end up scheduling one of those games. See, a lot of those teams don't like to play the mid-majors mm-hmm. like SLU or Missouri State or whatever, because there's always that danger that those teams are just good enough to beat
yeah.
you. And it's one of those things that you're supposed to win. If you're Kansas, you're supposed to win that game. So if you do, okay, that's what you're supposed to do. But there's a very good possibility you get beat. And then if you get beat, it's like, how did you lose to them? Mm-hmm. So they never want to schedule those teams. And then they especially don't do it on the road. They don't say, I'm going,
right?
Hey, I'm North Carolina, we're coming to SLU. That almost never happens. So if you get a big team like that coming to town, of course the atmosphere is going to be hot.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the Bragging Rights happens in St. Louis. And I wish there was an Illini-Mizzou football game that happened every year at the Dome. I think that would be...
Didn't they used to? And it got canceled.
It has. I wish they would do it. Because it's perfect. It's centrally located. It's good for us, obviously, selfishly. It's good for St. Louis. Would love to have more events like that here.
Okay, well, this was just, it's a heartbreaking story, and we do have to get to it. Ted Drews yesterday, as Ronj mentioned, a teen driver on Sunday night hit six people who were in the Ted Drews Christmas tree lot. This is the one on Chippewa and in St. Louis Hills. A 19-year-old drove into the lot to where the windows are at Ted Drews, hit six people. They said the cops were initially called for a shooting in that area. And Mitch McCoy for the St. Louis Police Department, the spokesperson, said probably because when the car hit the post, you know, like a lamp post and some metal stuff, it sounded like gunshots. Like, right. It can sound like pop and crack. So when they got there, the suspect was gone. Listening to Total Information AM this morning, Stuart McMillan reporting that some people, after the car was hit, they tried to grab onto the car to keep the suspect
from
fleeing.
Yeah.
So they tried to hold onto the car. The suspect fled. Was spooked because he hit six people at Ted Drews, went to his family's house, and a family member said, you have to go back. And so the suspect did drive back to the scene. It sounds like he's cooperating with the police. There was a passenger in the car at the time as well when he plowed into the Ted Drews crowd. But Ronj, this story of traffic violence and of people getting hurt, whether it was Janae Edmondson in for a volleyball tournament and she loses her legs, or a CBC student 2 years ago getting killed crossing the road at Ted Drews, the mother and daughter that were hit by the speeding driver on Olive after the Drake concert. St. Louis and the mayor have promised over and over again to address traffic violence, and this feels like really heartbreaking and frustrating that's happening yet again.
Yeah, this doesn't feel to me related to something like that. This isn't somebody who's driving, as far as I know, is not driving 70 miles an hour down Chippewa or Grand or whatever and running through red lights. Sounds like somebody who screwed up in the moment and freaked out, went home, and like you said, the parents or family or whatever said, hey, you have got to go back there, which I think to me is maybe the most remarkable part of this story, because a lot of times I think families would, we have to cover this up. You know, we have to be very careful with what happens here, and they protect the 19-year-old. But in this case, they made him go back and he did that. So I don't know what the end result is, except I know he's going to pay for it. He's going to pay for what he did, and he should pay for what he did. And hopefully all of these people who were injured all pull out of it. One of them is critically injured. Three of them are seriously injured. The others apparently were precautionary. But I'm not going to make that leap that this is the same thing as Janae Edmondson. It's the same thing as what happened right by Ted Drews in the past. I don't think this is that. Again, I wasn't there. I didn't see it. There is video of it. The police are reviewing, and we'll find out more about what happened. But it sounds like a guy screwed up and maybe wasn't paying attention or whatever, and he's now going to pay for it.
Yeah, I don't know. The difference, yeah, there's a huge difference in that. The people were not hit on the street or crossing the street, because that did happen in several of the other incidents. But in some ways more terrifying because the car plowed into the parking lot. But like you said, because the driver, 19 years old, freaked out, went to his family's home, came back, we have no idea why he plowed into the parking lot, wasn't paying attention. We don't know what was happening.
Maybe he hit the gas when he was trying to hit the brake. Who knows?
Just awful.
Yeah. Could be a number of things. And we, again, are supposed to hear from the police department, from the city. They are going to provide updates. I believe the time is 1 o'clock. So I don't think we're going to carry that live, but we are going to let you know as soon as we know what the updates are. 314-436-7900. It is a holiday week here. We're getting ready for Christmas. Oh, my God, it's Christmas almost.
I don't want it to be Christmas.
I know, dude.
I just want it to be this week leading up to Christmas forever.
Honestly, I think it has happened to me again.
Uh-huh.
That we have done this whole holiday month and it hasn't felt like it.
Oh, come on, don't say that.
It hasn't felt like it.
Why does time speed up?
Because it's like 50 degrees all month.
Is this being old? Is this what getting old means?
Yes.
That it goes by faster and more quickly every year?
Yes.
Well, that's depressing.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's almost over for you and me.
We're on the back nine?
We're on the back. Dude, we are on the back nine, I think. Amy, did you just... Matt Pajeski, I said it's almost over for us, and I looked over at Matt Pajeski, and he was celebrating. He put his fist in the air.
Just for you, not for Amy.
It's a Christmas
miracle.
What
the hell? These two are going to die soon.
Hey, speaking of dying, real trees die, fake trees don't. Is that our conversation?
Yes, it is.
We need to hear from you about artificial trees versus real Christmas trees. It's a very heated debate, so get ready to leave us a voice message on the Odyssey app, or to send us a text message at
314-436-7900.
Ah, the age-old question. To have an artificial Christmas tree or a real Christmas tree? Again, we want to hear from you. 314-436-7900, text or call, or the voice message app on the Odyssey app, the voice message feature on the Odyssey app. Leave us a voice message. You might hear yourself on the radio. Ranj and Matt Pajeski, we need to hear from you. Okay, did you guys grow up with a real tree or a fake tree?
Real, every year.
I think we only had a real tree like once or twice. Yeah, we've always... for the most part, had artificial trees. I like, and now they're all complicated. They have lights in the needles, and they're amazing.
You didn't have one of the bad guy silver Christmas trees, did you?
No, my dad had it was like a metallic purple one though, or blue. I think it was blue. Yeah, we had a couple of trees, and he insisted, and so he had this blue.
Yeah.
Just a weird color blue, and it had a bunch of, he was really into Star Trek.
Yeah.
So it had a bunch of those kinds of ornaments, like Star Trek and Star Wars.
So that
and
works
stuff like
with
that.
The blue tree. Because, you know, in the Hallmark movies, there's the successful big city boyfriend who always has either no Christmas tree or like the all silver metallic Christmas tree.
Yeah.
And then the hometown boy that she falls in love with works on a Christmas tree farm, obviously.
Let me tell you what I don't like. The trees that are too pretty.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Apartment store trees?
I really like decorating a Christmas tree with just a bunch of different random eclectic ornaments. I don't like uniform like they there are these the balls are all over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the red ones or silver or whatever.
The matchy matchy.
Yeah, I don't like the matchy matchy.
We grew up with a real Christmas tree our whole lives. I would say even into like early 20s. And once all the kids were out of the house and like adults, my parents switched from real Christmas trees. Like I never had a fake Christmas tree ever. They switched to fake Christmas trees, and they actually got two because the tree I grew up with was what you're talking about. Homemade art ornaments, unmatching ornaments. The kids have their own box because every year you'd get an ornament. We made our own star out of like tinfoil and cardboard and put that on top of the tree. We would string popcorn. We string popcorn on the tree. So that's my favorite kind of tree. So my parents still have that tree like downstairs, but my mom wanted a pretty tree. She said, when I grow up, I want a pretty tree. So once all the kids were out of the house, she got to do her pretty tree upstairs. But the downstairs where we sit and watch TV, that's the tree with all the colored lights, like all the different colored lights and the not ugly ornaments, but unmatching ornaments, the ones that are broken. And that we still have that tree. But they did switch to artificial, but I've never, ever had an artificial tree until my 20s.
I don't want to deal with the needles and then I got to do something with this tree other than put it in the basement when the season's over.
Well, listen to this.
That's so much easier.
A few years ago in my own apartment, I pulled a Kevin McAllister and I'm like, I, the least domestic person ever, who live on the third floor, this was my old apartment, a third floor of an apartment, I'm going to go get a real tree. So I went to Home Depot and I got a real tree that was big enough that it was a Christmas tree, but small enough that I could carry it by myself. So it was not a very tall tree. It's probably 4 feet tall. tops. And I grabbed it and I literally did the dragging it through the parking lot. I had to shove it into the back of my car because I don't know how to tie a tree to the top of my car. But I did the whole real tree by myself. And I was so proud of myself. And I left the tree up until it was like kind of dying. And I thought, oh my gosh, I live in an apartment. Where do I throw away a Christmas tree? So I dragged it onto the fire escape where it remained for 14 months.
That's not what you're supposed to do.
I know. I think that's a fire hazard.
It is.
But I
dragged... So you made the fire escape a fire hazard.
Yeah. I don't know what to do with the tree.
You have to take it to the place where they recycle it.
I don't know how to
do
that.
They turn it into mulch.
I couldn't put it in my car because all the needles were falling off. It would have made a mess.
This is why you don't get one.
So now I have, well, guess what I have? I still have a real Christmas tree in my apartment this year, but it's one of those little ones that's outside like Whole Foods or Schnucks where it's like 3 feet or 2.5 feet tall. So I can just, I can like pick that up with one hand.
I was showing you guys last week, and I'm telling the listeners now, Clickhole is one of my favorite websites. Mm-hmm. It's from the people who do The Onion, and it, the original intent was to make fun of BuzzFeed and how BuzzFeed articles and everything's a list and all of that stuff. And so they did, last week, it was 7 Christmas gifts that will make every member of your family so blanking upset. They use different language.
Yeah.
And one of the options is to bring a Christmas tree while you are while everybody is sitting around the Christmas tree celebrating Christmas to show up with a second, even larger Christmas tree and drag it into the living room.
Undecorated.
And then everybody, yes,
no
undecorated.
Lights, just an ugly.
That would be a great bit.
That is a great bit.
I love the fake tree. I will die on the hill of the fake tree at all times. I will never deviate from it. I will never get a real tree. These fake ones are awesome now.
Fake?
They're so good.
They're very nice. They're also very expensive. Guess how much?
Yeah, but you buy it once, and then you never have to worry about it again.
No, but they could be like $3,000. Guess I bought my little tree for $25. It's real.
A text message here says, tell Amy I will take her tree and throw it in my pond.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
Why would you throw it in the pond?
Because the fish, it
They'll
sinks.
Eat it?
No, they live in there. It's good for the animals because there was a lake nearby where I grew up as a kid, and people would throw, like, not random people, but they would throw logs and trees in the bottom of the lake. It was a man-made lake because it provided natural habitats.
The texter follows up and says, this is what lake owners do. Lake house owners, that is. Like, wow. Wow, Mr.
Whoa,
lake house
you have
owner.
A lake house? Is it at the lake of the... ask him. Oh, I can ask him.
Yeah, go ahead and ask
listening.
Him.
Is it the Lake of the Ozarks? Is it Table Rock Lake? Or is it a lake that you own privately?
Yeah, I would just like to know who this lake house owner is. And things
I know.
Things are clearly going very well for
them.
Well,
and he knows that. I mean, I literally left the Christmas tree on my fire escape for 14 months.
Wonder how many boats this person has.
Was it our boss texting?
It's probably our boss texting. He's got 2 boats.
I thought he had 3 or 4.
I don't know. I think he downsized. That's Amy Markscores. I'm Chris Ranji. A lot of news to get to. A lot of things have happened in the last several hours, and we will tell you about them when we come back on KMOX. Tannenbaum, du kannst mir sehr gefallen. We have a Twitter poll up at Chris Amy KMOX where you should be following us because you can, other than use the Odyssey app to stream the show, which is great, you can also watch us. We're on a camera. Hello. How are you? You are beautiful. So I'm looking at the camera. You can look at us. So you can look at us on Twitter. You can look at us on Facebook.
It is weird, right?
That they could look at us?
Yeah, and kind of no. Like, hey, do you want to look at us?
It would have been weird like 10 years ago, 15 years ago.
I think TV news stations should start incorporating the phrase look at us into their commercials and their advertisements. Like Fox 2 News, look at us on Saturdays at 10.
That's the way they should say it.
And it could also be like this... this double meaning self-congratulatory slogan, like, look at us.
Hey,
we did an investigation.
I love it.
I do too.
That's really good.
Fox 2, look at us.
Look at us. You can look at us, the Chris and Amy Show.
Yeah.
Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. We are there for you at Chris Amy KMOX. A text message here says, totally with Chris, fake trees all the way. We're not all as rich as Amy and can afford a new tree every year.
Yeah.
That's right.
Honestly, this is like I have a structured settlement and I need cash now.
Mm-hmm.
It is more affordable for me to buy a $25 tree every year than to invest in a fake Christmas tree. I was shocked and dismayed.
A couple $100.
Oh, I don't. Not with inflation, buddy. When was the last time you bought a fake tree?
Like a year ago?
No, that's not true.
Yes. It's in my place.
You have
right now.
a fake tree every year, and you bought your fake tree last year.
No, well, the other one is gone. I got a new one because it has lights on it. It has lights in the needles.
Are they white lights or?
No, the fiber optic lights or whatever they call it.
Oh, the woogly stringy
ones? Oh, it's
ones?
Beautiful. Oh, my God. It's so nice.
Yeah. Matt Pajeski, please tell me. Do you approve or disapprove of the fiber optic lights?
I disapprove. You need those warm,
yep,
like white, I don't know, incandescent lights. Like those bright neon LED fiber optics, whatever, just they're unnatural.
Unnatural.
They're not very cozy.
Don't you tell me what to do.
Do you know the warmth?
I think they're very, I really feel cozy when I have it on. So.
I feel like you don't know what you're missing. I think you need to go to like, you can do the warm, but you can, warm white lights, or like I like the multicolored lights.
Twinkling white lights. Oh my.
Oh,
that's
wow.
A nice look.
I'm getting cozy
right now. You're not wrong. Those are wonderful looks. I love it. But I love my fiber optic tree too. Another texter says the Ozarks, they will tie a cement block or two to the tree and then dump it in the lake because they have a tendency to float back up.
So that would be a problem.
Are you allowed to do that? I guess.
Maybe it's the official Ozark tree sinkers. You know what I mean? Like you like put your trees out for pickup and then the Ozark tree sinkers come. The tree mafia, because they tie cement blocks and drop them in the lake. That's what I'd call myself, the tree mafia.
This text message says the old aluminum Christmas trees that were made in America are worth thousands of dollars now. And you can also Google what the pink Christmas tree went for last month, something like $18,000.
What?
So I guess it's an old aluminum pink Christmas tree?
Oh, wow. Yeah. The Home Depot has pink artificial Christmas trees. Let's see how much these.
He's talking about like the original ones from decades ago.
Oh, yeah.
That rotating color wheel.
I don't know.
You know what I'm talking about? Because the tree would look like different colors with that little wheel that would spin with the different colors on it.
Yeah. And the pink Christmas tree is a thing. It's a thing. It's a huge thing. Home Depot has a gazillion of them. So if you had or have a pink Christmas tree, like why? What's the motivation behind it? How did that start? I think I remember hearing this one time.
Maybe it came around the same time as the pink Cadillac.
I just think it would really mess up your pickle game if you got a pink Christmas tree.
Oh, yeah, because you would see the pickle. If you missed the show on Friday and you have no idea what we're talking about, there is some tradition that I had never heard of where you're supposed to hide a pickle ornament in the tree, and then if you find it, you get something.
I don't know what you get. Maybe
the kids
you get the
something. I don't know.
We have all
these people who said, oh, we played that game. Hide the pickle.
Several friends texted me and even took pictures of the pickle in their tree.
I have never heard of this.
Never heard of it. That was also the conversation we were talking about. Christmas traditions in different countries like Iceland, which has some very weird traditions. Obviously, Iceland is out there. But they also have a phallus museum. And we talked about that. So then we said, we got to change the subject. This is KMOX. We're not going to talk about the Phallus Museum anymore. Mm. And Scott Jagow and Chris Ranji, unironically, the next three topics just happened to be logs, pickles, and sausages.
I didn't do that.
Yes, you did.
We had a Twitter poll last week, and we asked this question, and this was all in response to Charles Barkley, who was on Inside the NBA on TNT, and they were having a little side conversation about Shaq and what Shaq does at Christmas time every year. I think it calls it Shaqta Claus or something, where he gives gifts to all kinds of kids. He's so generous in that way. And Charles said that adults should not receive gifts, that he doesn't get gifts for Christmas for adults, that it's only for children. So we asked you the question, should adults receive gifts on Christmas? And we have our final results in. The two responses are yes, of course, or no, it's for the kids. Amy, do you want to take a guess at what the results are?
I know there are probably a few Ebenezer Scrooges. And there are probably a few people who are just being obnoxious, which would probably be some of your loyal followers.
And mine?
In that case, wow. I think 81% of people said yes to adults getting
Amy,
Christmas presents.
It is almost exactly two-thirds. 65.
Really?
65.6% of people said, yes, of course, adults should receive mm-hmm. gifts. I estimated, remember when we put the poll out there, I said, oh, it's got to be like 5% of people
right.
think that adults shouldn't get gifts. 35% almost?
Do you think you think that they accidentally forgot about spousal gifts, you know, a gift husband, wife, or mom or dad, and they were thinking primarily, oh, big family gatherings, I'm not buying a gift for all the uncles and aunts because that's too much. You can't buy gifts for all the uncles and aunts.
If you have a big family, you almost, and we kind of didn't for a long time. We had a fairly large mm-hmm. gathering, gift for everybody. We did gifts for everybody.
Oh, but my gosh. I know. I think we did, too.
There are some families that have, like, I don't know, 40 people at the gathering.
Yeah.
You just can't. You have to do the, it's not White Elephant. What is it? Secret Santa.
Yeah.
Right.
We did gifts for everybody when I was very young, but I think we had to slowly stop that because it was insane to buy. Everybody's buying gifts for uncles and aunts and cousins and grandparents. It's too many people.
Text message says they sink the trees in the lake to provide cover for minnows and thus attract the crappie.
Oh, that's a lot of crappie.
Yeah.
They have too many crappie, I think.
You think so?
If you spit, the crappie will come up and eat it.
Another one here says, Pajeski has endeared himself to the audience during this season. His old man Christmas spirit is what we're missing these days.
I love Pajeski.
That's the best compliment I've ever received.
You really are kind of an
old
man.
Can I tell you, I don't want to betray a confidence here.
I think I know what you're going to say. It's okay.
Okay, Matt Pajeski, like my heart went like beat, beat. Like it was so touched. Matt Pajeski texted us last night and said, guys, like I'm going to be tired because I'm staying up late tonight to watch Christmas in Connecticut with Barbara Stanwyck. How adorable is that?
It's a good movie.
How adorable is that?
A little bit of romance. I like a little bit of romance.
When do you think that movie was released?
1946.
1945.
Yep.
Yep. It is.
The golden age of cinema.
It is. It is the
golden age of cinema.
I love Matt Pajeski so much. I literally can't take it. It gives me hope. You know why you give me hope? Because I lost all hope yesterday, and then I got a little bit of hope back with you. And the reason why I lost all hope yesterday is we watched episode 1 and 2 of Beast Games, the Mr. Beast show.
Oh yeah.
And it's just all these people. And at first I thought, man, I hate Mr. Beast. But I think what it is, listen, I get it. He's making a ton of money. He does give a ton of it away, helped like build wells in Africa. He makes sure you know it, but he's doing it, right? So like, okay, you know, it's not my style. But I think what bothered me is it's not so much that I really can't stand Mr. Beast, which I feel like I can't, but I really have to acknowledge the good he's done. It's that seeing all these people like clamor and cry and scream for money, and it's just we're standing on piles of money, and they'll humiliate themselves for piles of money, and it's like this giant social experiment. How far can you push people for money, and will they betray one another for money? And it made me feel icky, and I had this conversation because I'm with some, you know, young people, teenage boys, and Mr. Beast really. Some of whom are teenage boys, and Mr. Beast really appeals to that, right? And we had a serious conversation because I'm like, I hate this guy. And they were giving me the reasons why they didn't hate him. And I said, you know what? I'm going to grant you, I may not like the way he does it, but he really did help people. And when you look at some of his philanthropic work, I'm grateful. but I really don't like the focus on money. It kind of grossed me out.
It
grossed me out.
I cannot wait till the Mr. Beast ethics report comes out.
Ugh.
There's got to be something.
Oh, I know there's a lawsuit already about the Beast games because I was reading that. But what I will say is I was just losing hope because it's just his whole premise is people will do anything for money. So if you make a reality show for people having a chance to get money, you've got an endless supply of cast members or actors who will do anything for money. Like he knows he's got the people because so many people will humiliate themselves, betray people for money. So that's the whole premise is I'm using human nature to make this zany, bizarre show because I know somebody will be willing to do this. Willing to do it.
I think there's a real debate to be had here about performative charity.
Mm-hmm.
It is one of my least favorite things. It's one of I cannot stand it when a person does something charitable
mm-hmm.
and then makes absolutely sure you see it. The debate is it okay because they're doing it anyway and somebody is benefiting, somebody who needs it is actually getting benefit, or is it off-putting because the person who's performing the charity is really just doing it so that you see it and think they're a good person?
Yeah, it's
now,
poverty
and I think
porn
it's both.
Is what they call it. It's poverty porn.
It is, and I don't like influencers who will find a homeless person on the street, walk up to them and record the whole interaction say, oh, here's $500. And then it's like, wow, what a great thing this guy just did. And yeah, that's great. You gave somebody who could really use it $500.
Mm-hmm.
But also you've done it for yourself. I don't know, man. It has always put me off. And the whole Mr. Beast thing does the same thing. On a much bigger scale with a lot more money involved.
Yeah, and I think that's why I really had to check myself because I did feel so, I recoiled from the show because I find it reprehensible. But the boys made a really good point that, again, I'm not saying I agree with it. They were just saying he makes his money making these videos and these are games and then he raises awareness. And he really did build the wells, which really does help the people. And in some ways, yeah, it's a capitalist mindset, is I'm going to benefit, but what he can do, his charity giving can be way more efficient than some bureaucracies. So that's good. I personally makes me feel icky because I don't like exploiting.
I agree with you. That's what it is.
People's desire for money or vulnerability or even I don't like exploiting their stupidity because some people aren't really struggling. They're just stupid and they want to be famous. So it makes me feel icky, but I wanted to acknowledge that he has done some legit charity work. He really has. It just kind of bothers me. But better than like Cardi B or someone else or whoever, maybe not who has money. I can't name very many people or an influencer like, I don't know if Sabrina Carpenter, I don't know the people.
Barbara Stanwyck, somebody.
Yeah, who's just making money and aren't helping.
Well, we don't know if they are or not. I have no idea. They might be doing charity and not telling you about it.
Maybe, but
which is my favorite kind of charity. Just do it.
I think it's how you're supposed to do it, but in some ways you're raising awareness.
That's Amy Marks Course. I'm Chris Ranji. Did You See This is next.
Now, Did You See This? With Chris and Amy.
Do you see what I see?
Do you see what I see?
I know you do, because I showed it to you last night. But the Phoenix Suns owner has changed food prices at the stadium to make concessions more family-friendly. So there are reduced prices on items like hot dogs, popcorn, and a family of four. Excuse me, hot dogs and popcorn, so that a family of four can go to the Phoenix Suns game and get some food and not have to spend a couple hundred dollars. It's a new $2 value menu. So for $2, and he scratched out some of the prices, a hot dog is no longer $9, it's $2. A fountain soda is no longer $6.50, it's $2. Bottled water is no longer $8.50, it's $2. How do you feel about it?
I think it's great to offer options like that, even if the entire menu and all of the concessions is not uniform in that way. because it is expensive. Once you've bought the tickets, once you've paid for parking, if you park wherever you go, it is. It's a lot to buy on top of it. We have talked about what the Atlanta Falcons do at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Everything is like $5. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a soda drinker and you buy a cup for soda, they have their machines out like you're at a 7-Eleven or at a Quick Trip. You could just go back up there and refill it as much as you want. That kind of stuff is amazing, especially when you take into account how expensive tickets are.
Yeah.
So if you're already paying for tickets, you're already paying for the parking or whatever, you're putting a lot of money into it. It's nice to have a little bit of a break on the other end with concessions.
Yeah, and they're saying now like a family of four, each person could get like a hot dog, a bag of chips, and a fountain soda and spend $24 on that for all four people, right? Four hot dogs, four chips, four sodas versus almost $100, which is what it would have cost before that.
This story coming out of Atlanta, this is really something. A woman has discovered that her ex-husband had a kinky online profile. She caught him with a mistress at an airport, and this is where it all started. She found over 60 mistresses.
What?
He had 60 mistresses.
Okay.
How do you have that kind of time?
So are all these all online mistresses, or was he meeting them in person?
Well, yeah. There was a lot of meeting going on, too.
Okay, that's super scary, because you know he picked up a few things.
Tips and tricks?
Tricks.
Oh, you mean, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
That's disgusting and awful. So
that is a lot.
Wrong?
Yeah, it's... Totally wrong.
Did she kill him or?
No. But they're divorced now.
Good.
Yeah. You don't want to do that, especially at the holidays. That's Amy Mark's course. I'm Chris Ranji. We are later on in the show going to talk to Thane Rosenbaum about Luigi Mangione, who was arraigned today. And we're going to get his thoughts on what happens. He's a CBS legal analyst. Matt Pauly joins the show. We're going to talk about Ricky Henderson as well, who passed away yesterday. So a lot coming up with Chris and Amy on KMOX.